Good to be here with all of you. Good to be in the services with the Lord. Thank you for that prayer, Brother James. We pray that the Lord will bless us tonight. As we look to the Word, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I believe this is talking about those who were chosen in Christ before the world began. We'll all be born of the Holy Spirit sometime between conception and death. And when that happens, the Apostle Paul says they are a new creature. They think different. They are different because I believe the Spirit of the Lord resides in them. They are born from above, born of God. The word creature there means anything that is created except the creator. We tend to think that maybe that's talking about living things, but really, all things were made by him. There wasn't anything made that he didn't make, the Apostle John tells us. So this world, this universe, planets and stars, the moon, all the plants, everything within it, it can be called by definition a creature. We are creatures. That means we were created. David said, "It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves." But when we are born of God, we were an old creature, now also a new creature. Things are different. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I believe at that point we are able to know the Lord, know the sound of the Lord, know the sound of the gospel. I think even if we never hear the gospel, I believe there is a change that is within us. John said, "He that's born of God doth not commit sin." It says, "Neither can he sin because his seed remaineth in him." So there is a difference between a born again person and one that is not born again. They may not all hear the gospel, but they are just as much children of God as those that do. They don't need to do anything to become a child of God. They are born a child of God. They are a new creature. So I want to look at that word creature. It's an interesting word. As I said, it means anything that was created. And I'm going to turn into the 8th chapter of Romans. And there's a lot of verses that I could go to that use that word creature. But our moderator he wants us to keep this under 30 minutes. And if you go over 30 minutes, he gets a little passive aggressive and remind you about it from time to time. I don't want Brother Conley to get passive or aggressive. I just want him to be all right. So I'm just going to confine what I say about this expression, this new creature in the 8th chapter of Romans. In verse 19, we read this: "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." So there is something within the new creature, which I think this is referring to. It's talking about those of God, the elect of God, they that are born again. They have something that they're looking forward to. And he says that thing is the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, what do y'all think that is? Well, I think Paul answers that, and we skip down to verse 23. He says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I believe that's talking about the resurrection. That's the one thing I want to happen more than anything else in this world. There are some things I'm looking forward to, but the resurrection is top shelf. As a matter of fact, if the Lord said, would you rather wait or let's have the resurrection now? I say, right now. How long, dear Savior? Oh, how long shall that bright hour delay? Come swiftly round ye wheels of time and bring the promised day. Any time is a good time for the day of the resurrection. But as Job, we shall, all our appointed days, we shall wait until our change come. I'm looking forward to that. I know y'all are too. That's the capstone. Can't get any better than that. That's the best day of your life. Hadn't happened yet, but it's going to happen when the Lord comes back. You may have already had the worst day of your life, but the best day hadn't happened yet, but it will happen because he promised that it would happen. And he put that desire within that new creature. We're waiting, waiting, waiting for that manifestation when we will know as we are known. Because when we're born again, my friends, yes, we have the Spirit of God within us. Yes, we are a new creature, and old things are passed away, and all things are become new, but we have to contend with the flesh. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, what a day that will be when that fight will be over. When there be no more disappointments, especially we disappointing ourselves, that we will be fashioned after his own glorious body. People say, are you a Christian? Well, Christian means to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ, but I don't know if I ever have been. But I trust on that day that I'll be like Christ because the scripture promises we will be like him. We will see him as he is. But there are some interesting verses between in the 8th chapter of Romans, between verse 19 and verse 23. If the Lord would bless, I'd like to try to talk to y'all about these three scriptures. They give a lot of information about what we have to deal with in this life, being new creatures, children of God, by the grace of God. As we wait for that manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So he says this, verse 21. Verse 20, excuse me. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Now, maybe some of you good preach brethren might have a better interpretation of this than me, but y'all aren't preaching. I'm the one trying, so I get to tell you what I think. Y'all can shoot it down later. I'm going to tell you what I think. Now, I think what I'm saying, it's going to be right, but it may not be what the scripture's saying. But right now, unless y'all convince me otherwise, I'm going to give y'all what I think this scripture means. Because this scripture here kind of tripped me up for a long time. The creature was made subject to vanity. To be subject means to be under the dominion of, under the rule of, under the dominion. So we're under subjection or under the dominion or the overriding principle of vanity. Well, vanity means meaninglessness. It's a negative thing. It's something you don't want. It means to be against the Lord, not to have any substance, be going the wrong way, to be contrary, I think, to the will of God, to sin, to commit sin. I think that subject of vanity is telling us that we're still in this sinful bottle. That's what I think he's saying. We have to contend with that. That's why we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the redemption of our body, when that body is not subject to vanity, when that body is going to be subject as the new creature within us, that Spirit of God, which is, he said, is subject to hope. Not we don't want to sin, but we do sin. The Apostle Paul talked a lot about that in the 7th chapter of Romans. When I would do good, evil is present with me. He says that the things that I would not, that I do. I don't want to sin, but I do. I want to do righteous all the time, but I fail. That's vanity. That's a true fact, y'all. Back in the old days, there was a kind of a, you know, when you study church history, basically you're studying church trouble. You study the weird ideas that brethren have. And one of the weird ideas, this came out of Texas. I was in Arkansas, Brother Isaac. You know, I get straight, sit straight when I go to Arkansas. You know where Straight Street is? It's in Arkansas. I was in Arkansas. A brother came to me and said, "You from Texas? How come all heresy comes out of Texas?" Well, he may have been right. A lot of heresy has come out of Texas. And here's one of them. It's the whole man doctrine. That means when you're born again, yes, you have the Spirit of God within you, but that affects the flesh. And the flesh is also changed in regeneration. I ain't never met anybody that fits the bill of whole man doctrine. I never have. I don't think I ever will until the day of the resurrection. Now, that whole man doctrine will be true on the day of the resurrection when we are fashioned after Jesus Christ. Christ's glorious body. But until then, we, my friends, we are subject to vanity. But there's something else, just as powerful, and that is subject to hope. Hope is the antidote to vanity. Hope is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Hope, Paul is going to, Paul defined what hope is in verse 19. The earnest expectation of the creature. That's a Bible definition of hope. It's an expectation, but it's an earnest expectation. That means it is the hope of all hopes. It's the top, it's the cream of all hope. It is the one thing that we desire more than anything else, that we know, that we trust, we believe that Christ delivered us on the cross, that his Spirit came and we are new creatures in Christ. And that he will come on the latter day and will deliver us from the bondage of this corruption. And no longer subject to hope, but soul, body, spirit, now subject to hope, but hope realized. And then when we see it with these eyes, then it's no longer hope, because hope which is seen is not hope. We'll see it face to face. We have to contend with that. We have to fight that every day that we live. I know that I do. Sometimes the flesh wins, sometimes the spirit. I grieve. I beg forgiveness. I feel bad about the things that I have done. I wish I didn't do it. I don't even, right now, the thought of being in the flesh is anathema to me. Right now, I can tell y'all right now, thank God, right now, I am just channeled in to that hope that he's placed within me. That's why we ought to meet together as often as we can and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You know, Solomon said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. It seemed too much. I think when Solomon wrote that in Ecclesiastes, he forgot what he said in the book of Proverbs. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I wondered if he lost his that hope. Maybe it wasn't available to him like it used to be. Maybe he had traded it in. We know that he did some things there, but we won't get into that. When I read in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, he tried to find fulfillment in his wisdom, in his riches. Tried this, tried that. At the end of it all, he said it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. Hope deferred, hope put off, hope lost maketh the heart sick. But hope renewed, hope found, hope reinvigorated by iron sharpening iron, the hearing of the word of the Lord, speaking to each other and hearing the songs of Zion, my friends, that just brings that hope up to the forefront into that vanity. That old sin nature is forgotten for a little while. And we can think on nobler things, sublime things, and we can walk about Zion and understand that this world is not our home. Paul would say this, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. I mean, I'm going to interpret that whole creation means the whole elect family of God. I know all is created of God. I know that. But I like to stay in context. I've seen folks repent and I've seen folks rejoice. I've seen folks rejoicing so much that they shudder to think of leaving the kingdom for a little while to get back out in the world and try to make a living, try to deal with all the trial and trouble. Life is difficult. We groan within ourselves. Travaileth in pain, like a woman giving birth. And Paul said, but not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Aren't you glad, my friends, that we've got that hope within us? Aren't you glad that he just said, I'll save you. I'll pay your sin debt. But, you're just going to have to just keep being buffeted by the world, being hit by the darts of the wicked one. He said, no, I'm going to put something within you that will know the sound of my voice, that will look beyond this world, that this world is not our home. You know, the older I get, the glad I am that I'm getting older. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But I'm like Job, I would not live always. If they find the fountain of youth, they can have it. I don't want it. Let me serve my time here, Lord, but when you're ready, I'm ready. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for when the Lord says it's time. And so going on, Paul says this, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Isn't it interesting, friend? I've heard some of the brethren here. I'm looking at some of my good brethren that I've heard preach the gospel. Y'all are preaching about a man I've never met. Y'all are preaching about a place I haven't been to yet. You're preaching about something I can't see, but yet something within me says, amen, that's right. That's the truth. That's it. That's my heart's desire is to hear the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ. And for some reason, I believe, well, not some reason, by the grace of God, I believe and I know that I have another building. I know this world is not my home. I'm not at home in this world, but I know I've got a tabernacle. I'll lay down this tabernacle, but I got a building of God, not made with hands. It's reserved in heaven for me. I know that, but I haven't seen it. I've never met him, but I believe it because I'm subject to hope. Thank God. There's a lot of wonderful things to be said about hope. And friends, let me ask you this. When we are just carried away by the sound of the preaching of the gospel, or by the good singing, or by the hearty fellowship, how wonderful that is. Can you imagine how it's going to be when we see that which we can't see now, when we see face to face? There's not going to be any need of hope because we're going to see the thing that we hope for. And you know one thing we're going to not say when we get up there? Well, it just wasn't what I thought it'd be. Yeah, old Brother Dave told me all this, but you know how he gets. Brother Dave just talks too much. We're gonna say like the Queen of Sheba said, well, that half wasn't told me. But I see it. And it's better than it's ever been described. What a wonderful day that we've got waiting for us, my beloved friends. And so may the Lord be praised for all this. Now, being that I don't want to really get in trouble with Elder James Connolly, because you know he can get a little, like I said, a little passive aggressive on that. But I see that I've got, well, let me just read this. Back over here. Let me just, Brother James, let me just read in the second chapter, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm just going to read this and I'll close. Paul writes verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." I think that's the subject of vanity, subject to hope. Then he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not, excuse me, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Then he goes into that earthly house of this tabernacle where it's all, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. "For in this we groan," here we go, "in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Amen and amen. All right. That's what I'm waiting for, and that's the subject of hope. Let us listen to that, my friends, and give that all the attention in this life. May God bless you, is my prayer. Thank you very much.